Joining us now in studio is Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Matt Hillman from the Northfield School District. Matt, good morning.
Well, good morning, Jeff. It's a beautiful day out there.
Yeah, we were just talking before we went on the air. We're in the summer now. We got 90 degrees. We had a 100 degree day already this year, but you're still being plagued by snow.
I suppose just like the Twins' late inning relievers, snow has been plaguing us still. And did I say that out loud? We love our Twins. Again, school year was supposed to end last Thursday. And, mm-hmm. of course, because we had, a challenging winter for safe driving in some cases and passable roads, despite outstanding efforts of local road crews, TJ and his crew here in town especially. We had two extra days. We had students back on Friday, and then we had all staff back yesterday for makeup days. And then, as we were talking beforehand, we have all of our elementary reading teachers are also in today. So they are, yesterday and today, they're having a very intense training on new literacy or new reading curriculum that we'll be implementing to start next fall. It's a pretty substantial curriculum change. As community members know and have acknowledged numerous times, we have a world-class teaching staff in Northfield. And one of the things that we have not always provided them over the years, we've put more on them in terms of developing some of their own classroom curriculum. And over the past 18 months, we worked with 30 or more teachers to determine it was time for a little bit more consistent of a reading curriculum. And so we're implementing the collaborative classroom curriculum next fall, and our teachers are very excited about it. We've done a couple of surveys. People are really thrilled about the opportunity to have a little bit more of a consistent curriculum across the district. It certainly doesn't take away, the teachers' autonomy and allow, their ability to teach the students in front of them. But it really gives them some rich literature that they can use with children. As you know, Jeff, we've been focusing on making sure that as many third graders read at grade level. By the time they leave third grade, there's a tremendous amount of research that says, if you're reading well by the end of third grade, the path for academic success is open to you. It doesn't mean that if you're not quite there by third grade that, all bets are off. We know that the statistics, it's a major benchmark, and if we can have students leaving grade three proficient in reading, we know that they have a strong opportunity for academic success for the remainder of their K-12 career and beyond. So I'm really grateful to the 30-plus teachers who spent an inordinate amount of time helping research and select this curriculum. Their excitement, even after the end of the school year is over, to come back and get this training, so they're thinking about it through the summer, being prepared to implement this new curriculum in the fall. It's probably the most substantial change for our elementary curriculum in a couple of decades.
Well, that's was my next question. Is this a substantial difference from what you have done in the past?
I would say that it's leveraging some of the successful approaches that we've had, but it's also filling in some of the gaps that we had realized because, we're a district that's committed to continuous improvement. We're always asking, okay, we're doing very well. We have got a great reputation as a school district, but what's next? And, our grade three results were not where we wanted them to be because we know that that is a proxy for how students potentially can do down the line. So really great work by your teaching staff. I'm really proud of them. Mary Grace Hansen, Nancy Antoine Scott, Sam Richardson, our elementary principals, our literacy coaches at all three buildings, Becky Ganey, Diane Torbenson, and Inger Hansen. We're just, really thrilled with their work. A lot of good planning, which is resulting in some real quality training these past couple of days.
All right. Once again, Matt Hillman is with us, a superintendent of schools for Northfield. Let's talk about budgets. You've finished up. This is the last meeting of the 17-18 school year, so wrapping that up and going on into the 18-19, and it's required that you pass a budget for the upcoming school year before June 30th, is that the
final? That's correct, and if you want a drum roll, we passed the budget last night, which is good. So, a couple of budget items, actually three budget items last night. One, we passed, we approved revised budgets for child nutrition and community services. Director of Finance Val Murdestorf is really intent on making sure that we're keeping tabs on budgets through the entire year. So it's not uncommon, even though we've adopted a budget for next year right now, almost always we have at least one revision and sometimes two revisions during the year because we want to have as accurate in-flight, if you will, information as possible. So it's not uncommon in June for us to actually pass a revised budget for some funds for the previous year. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, passed the proposed 18-19 budget for all funds. And so that's great to have that in place as we move forward. And, you know, if we look at the general fund, which is the greatest of them all, of course, the largest of them all, we're projecting revenues of just above $54 million and expenditures just above $53 million. So, again, thanks to Val Murdestorf and her team, did a great job. And then we're also, the next step in this process is getting the audit going. So the board did approve what we call the audit engagement letter, and we'll be working again with Clifton Larson Allen starting the summer to take a look at back at the last fiscal year, and that process actually begins the budgeting for next year. So it's a continuous cycle, and we think that that very intentional approach of looking at the budget at several points throughout the year has really helped with our fiscal stewardship.
Now, is that audit, is that mandated? Do you have to,
yes.
Are we required to do that?
That so, is correct.
And it also gives you a lot of information, as you had mentioned.
Absolutely. You know, we strive for financial transparency. Mm-hmm. You can see all of our audit reports on our school district website. We're very proud of having clean audits for many years in a row. And so, again, we're required to do that audit, but it's also a great way to make sure that we have a third party checking, looking over our shoulder a little bit, giving us feedback about things that we can do better, and then really assuring the community that, yes, you know, things are on the right track. So, again, starting that process now, and it just, when one thing ends, another begins, Jeff.
It's almost never ending. And as our election years, we're in an election
yes,
year,
are.
And, you know, I hadn't even thought about that, but you've got things to do and T's to cross and I's to dot before the you break for the summer. So you did that yesterday because you've got a few board seats that are being available.
Yeah, we have three board seats up for election on November 6th. Chair Julie Pritchard, Directors Jeff Quinnell and Margaret Colangelo, those seats are up. And the filing dates for candidacy, Northfield does not. You might have seen some other school districts that recently have announced their board candidates.
Mm-hmm.
Several years ago, schools could choose whether they would engage in a primary or not. And Northfield chose, we're not going to have a primary. And so basically what happens is we have the filing dates open from July 31 to August 14th. And folks interested will have this information on our website yet this week. People would be able to stop in the district office those days, and they'd be able to pay their $2 filing fee and, you know, could file for school board. So for folks who have questions about it, they can certainly, you know, contact me, or they can contact one of our board members if people have an interest of, you know, what does it take, what's it like to be on the school board. So again, we've got three seats open and three seats up for election, excuse me, and the filing process starts July 31 and ends on August 14.
All right. Now, on election day, it's just the top three vote getters. If there are six running, the top three get those
correct.
Three spots.
That's
all right.
Correct.
All right. That's democracy right there.
Yes, it is.
Once again, Superintendent Dr. Matt Hillman is with us. A couple other things I want to talk about. We're going to have you back in a couple of weeks. This is the last meeting of the school year, but we'll have you back in a couple of weeks because I want to talk facilities. You had a work session, last week to talk about facilities?
We did, and so folks know that for the last several years we had worked really hard to develop a master facilities plan,
mm-hmm.
dozens of meetings, hundreds of people involved. You know, we had a large bond referendum, $109 million, that was not approved by the voters in November. And again, you know, we don't whine or complain. We just look, okay, what's next? And so the board really did some thinking this winter about facilities. They assembled a 30-member facilities action team, you know, what we think was representative of the electorate or the voters here in town to the best of our ability. And they came up with some thoughts for the board. The board's been discussing it. I will share that what the trend seems to be is some real interest both from the facilities action team and the board to consider looking at bringing back the elementary school projects associated with the master facilities plan. While there's been some really robust discussion about the future of the high school, you know, the fact is that it appears that if there is going to be some kind of referendum on the ballot in November, it would be focused on our elementary projects and really focusing on, again, on security, focusing on some extra space, and then early learning, which you and I have talked about a number of times. One thing I just want community members to be looking for is we're going to run another thought exchange process specifically about what the board is thinking about. And one of the things we've struggled with in the past is to get community members without children to participate in that process. So we're working through getting that launched. I'm going to guess it's going to either be later this week, but it probably will be early next week. And we're actually planning to send a postcard to every voter so that with a link to the thought exchange process, so people who aren't on our email lists or don't listen to KYMN or well, not that anybody doesn't listen to KYMN or read the local papers, you know, that we really want to encourage people to participate to get their thoughts and their questions, you know, out about what the board is considering. So if folks can just watch for that in the next couple of weeks here, I'd appreciate that.
All right. We'll talk more on that
in a couple of weeks. Yeah.
Yeah. Anything else from last night's meeting? I've got still another thing I want to talk to you about, but do you have anything else from last night?
We'll talk about the Buildings and Grounds summer projects along with the facilities the next time.
All right. I want to talk to you about a SCOPE program. This is really neat. We have in conjunction with the Northfield Historical Society with middle school-age kids writing a book. And they've written a couple of them so far, and we've got another one on the way, or just released, I understand.
Well, and exactly, the SCOPE program, which stands for Student Community Outreach Program Experience, if you can remember that.
Okay.
SCOPE, it's a program that's at Northfield Middle School for 8th grade students. It's been around for, let's just say, years been around for. And it's a great partnership, Northfield Public Schools, Northfield Historical Society, and Carleton College. And each year, approximately 10 8th grade students, very high level academic ability. These students need to work independently. They work with some Carleton College students who help them with their research. And over the years, Earl Weinman, the venerable Earl Weinman, everyone knows Earl.
Mm-hmm.
This is a class that Earl runs and teaches, and we're very proud of the work that they've done. As you had mentioned, they've written several books. And in the past, what they had done is they had written books that sometimes took more than one group of students to finish. Just give you an example. My oldest son, Jackson, who had just finished his freshman year at the University of Minnesota, was in SCOPE in 8th grade, and the book that he worked on is just being published this summer. So it's a more comprehensive local history of Northfield. If you remember, before, the previous SCOPE groups had worked on an elementary school history textbook, again, about the history of Northfield.
Sure.
There was some other piece about the James Younger gang and that particular piece in the previous book. So what Earl has done is over the years, you know, there was sometimes it took several cohorts to research, to write, you know, to edit these books. And so, you know, students may not see the fruits of that for several years after. Over the past couple of years, Earl has switched it to what he calls a booklet. And so this year, the SCOPE students took on a really interesting project. They called it Cows, Colleges, and Controversies.
Mm-hmm.
And so what these students did is they teamed up in pairs, and they actually really looked into, I'm going to guess, about 10 controversies over the last 15 or so years in Northfield. And they actually they do everything they can to get as many primary sources as they can. So they're reading the Northfield News. They're looking through KYMN archives. They are looking at things in the Historical Society. And in this case, because they're looking at a history of the last, say, 15 years, trying to synthesize, you know, why does controversy mean so much to our community? And it's because it's a vibrant community. They've learned that people in Northfield have high expectations for where we live and how we live and how we treat people, and that they don't sit idly on the sidelines when something gets in their craw, you know, if you will, because they feel that it's against one of those core principles. So they actually interviewed, you know, some of the people who were involved in some of the controversies. Some of the folks involved weren't, you know, willing to be interviewed for a number of different reasons. But again, you think about the power. These students are doing this first-person research. You know, they're looking at primary sources, things that, you know, people had actually written about a particular thing that they're researching. And then they're synthesizing and they're putting it into a booklet to share with the community. They gave a presentation at the White Center a couple weeks ago. And we've had this group come to the Rotary before with previous booklets. I encourage members of the community, if you have a chance to see these students present, these are 14-year-old kids who you would be shocked because they are presenting as if they are professionals. The level of preparation, how articulate they are, their ability to engage and answer questions, detailed questions about what they've researched, is just outstanding. And this is exactly the kind of opportunity that I think Northfielders have come to expect of our school system. And what I'll tell you is kids in that particular program, they are developing college-level writing skills in 8th grade. I know this not only from visiting with these students and seeing their work, but also happening to have a my own son who had gone through the process.
It's really interesting stuff. We talked. I talked with Earl not too long ago, a couple of months back, when they were doing some research. He had contacted us about some information, some interviews that we had done, if they were available. So he helped out with that and said, you know, we've got to have you on. He really wants to come on with the students once they get everything done. So maybe at some point this summer we can have them on and talk about that, because what a neat program. You know, the books that they have done in the past have been done so well, so comprehensive, that I'm looking forward to more new stuff. Boy, they've really been working hard.
Well, I think, Jeff, you know, one of the things that we've talked about modernizing our teaching and learning, we've talked about this a number of times, is that there are things that we can do within the classroom for a teacher that are really good assignments. However, when we can have students prepare something for an authentic audience, a group of people who are not their teacher, who are going to question, not in a bad way, but who are going to question and push their thinking, when we can have students produce something for the community, it's the highest level of learning. Because you're not just regurgitating something, or you're not putting something together in a hypothetical way. It's real. Mm-hmm. And it's something you're sharing with. We can look right across the street here. If I move my head just a little bit to the left, I see that beautiful statue that we now have, that sculpture that is right in front of. There's another example, you know, of how that sculpture project of, again, kids who are coming to do extra work through the year, putting this wonderful sculpture together that it's a gift to the community. And you think about working with metal, all of the different kinds of things that they're learning during that process. So the kind of learning that you and I did, you know, when we were in school, which was really self-contained, there's still an important place for that. But when we can get students to prepare things for an authentic audience, for people, real people, and they can show and defend their work, it's the highest level of learning. And that's just an example of where we're trying to go in Northfield Public Schools.
Yeah, those are both of those projects are out there for everyone. Everyone to look at, to criticize, or critique, I should say, however they want to. So, yeah, very good, very good. All right. Matt, is there anything else you'd like to mention while we have you on?
I think that we have covered most of the stuff for today, Jeff. As you know, you give me the amount of time, and we can chat. We both have the gift of gab. So,
well, we'd be glad to have you back in a couple of weeks, and we'll talk about some of the facilities things that are going on this summer and beyond.
So, thanks, Jeff. Appreciate the time. Have a great day.
Superintendent Dr. Matt Hillman of the Northfield School District. Coming up in just a moment, Terry has a look at local news. We also have Tim McNiff News with a side of sports. Here's the latest from around the state.
Minnesota News Network, I'm Tasha Radel. Parts of central Minnesota and the western edge of the metro are cleaning up from severe storms with damaging winds and heavy rains. The National Weather Service reported wind gusts 45 to 50 miles per hour in the St. Cloud and Lake Minnetonka areas. Trees a foot in diameter were downed in Sauk Rapids and Sartell, and a tree fell on a Long Lake fire truck in Orono. Many boats and docks suffered storm damage on Lake Minnetonka, and there were downed power lines in West